Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. One of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, who is a very good former governor of Virginia, Democrat, is our nominee. He was nominated in a primary. Anybody could vote in it. Any Democrat could vote it in Virginia. They don't have an open primary the way we do in Wisconsin, where you don't even have to declare or register your party. You can be a Republican, vote in the Democratic primary, and vice versa. As a legacy of fighting Bob La Follette and the progressive movement of 100 years ago, it was a great innovation, and I commend it around the country. I did when I was party chairman and member of the Democratic National Committee, but not many states have picked up on it. But in Virginia, at least they had a Democratic primary. The Republicans did not have a primary in that sense. Their nominee was selected by delegates, and you had to sign up as a delegate. And there was just a small subsection of people compared to what would have come out in a primary. And they came up with a character named Glenn Youngkin, Youngkin, former private equity fund manager, Glenn Youngkin. And as somebody once described it, the three major candidates were basically Trump, Trumpier, and Trumpiest. The Trumpiest was a woman, a true nut, who had supported the January 6th insurrection, actually gone there, and she referred to herself as Trump in heels. People were afraid that she would get nominated. She did not, by these delegates. Glenn Youngkin was the Trumpier. The more moderate, the mere Trump aficionado, didn't make it. The Trumpiest didn't. The Trumpier did. Glenn Youngkin. So it's Terry McAuliffe against Glenn Youngkin. And Terry McAuliffe had been the governor prior to the present Governor Northam. But Virginia has a very strange law. Some states have laws that the governor can only serve two terms. We have a constitutional requirement that the president of the United States can only serve two terms. Virginia has a law that says he can only serve one term consecutively. So he can serve a term, step out, somebody else gets in, and then he can run again. That's what McAuliffe's doing. McAuliffe did a heck of a job, when he was governor. So it's Terry McAuliffe against Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin is bad news. Private equity manager, fund manager, precisely the guy we do not want in a position of political power. He's already in a position of economic power. And a poll just came out. And this poll showed Terry McAuliffe ahead of Glenn Youngkin by 4 points, four percentage points, within the margin of error. The margin of error was 4.2 percentage points. That means that you could reduce Terry McAuliffe's vote by 4 points and increase Glenn Youngkin's. Theoretically, it could be an 8-point swing, and theoretically, it was in margin of error. Now, there's a couple of things I take away from that. First of all, Terry McAuliffe was ahead. You always want to be ahead. Secondly, this is way before the November election, And this is a name recognition poll. And so this one, the Democrats are going to say Terry McAuliffe, the Republicans are going to say Glenn Youngkin, and then the independents and the moderates, who essentially lower information and don't really follow politics, they've heard of Terry McAuliffe because he was the governor. And they probably didn't hear of Glenn Youngkin or hear very much of Glenn Youngkin. So this is nothing to take to the bank. On the other hand, there's some tea leaves in it that I'm reading that are favorable. If at this point a guy like Terry McAuliffe were 10 points behind an unknown Republican, that would signal a really bad thing for Democrats nationally. On the other hand, sure, we'd love it if Terry McAuliffe were 10 points ahead of him. But I'll take four. I'll take 4 points. Terry's going to win this thing, has plenty of money, very experienced guy, good record to run on. And Glenn Youngkin has no political record to run on. And this reminds me of in 1994, which was a terrible year for Democrats. It was almost as bad as 2010. Democrats got wiped out around the country in 1994. lost the Senate, lost the House. And most people do not remember. In 1994 in Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy was up for re-election, and Mitt Romney, who went on to be governor later, ran against him as the Republican nominee. And I looked at that, and a lot of people looked at it and said, well, you know, look, Ted Kennedy, John Kennedy held that seat at one time, JFK himself. I mean, Kennedy in Massachusetts, Ted's been in since 1962. He's a shoo-in. Well, he wasn't a shoo-in. It looked bad for a while, not because of Ted Kennedy, but because it was a Republican year, a bad Republican year. And then Ted put on a series of ads, and remember something, Mitt Romney had been a principal at Bain Capital, and that was essentially a private equity firm, just like Glenn Youngkin is the head of another one, or was, he stepped down in Virginia. And whenever you have somebody who heads up a private equity firm, you're going to find that they took over a company, raided the pension fund of the workers, and threw a lot of people out of work. And so they sniffed around and sniffed around, and Bain Capital, the one that that Mitt Romney was principal of, they found they had done bad things to workers, laid them off. And so a series of ads came out, and Ted basically squeaked in. So do not discount what can happen in a bad year for Democrats. And I'm not saying this is a bad year for Democrats, because some of the indications from the by-elections around and special elections, people who, with some an incumbent who passed away or stepped down, have been going well for Democrats. I do not get the feeling of this year, 2022, coming up as being like 2010 or 1994. On the other hand, there were banner years for Democrats. 1958, John F. Kennedy got reelected to the Senate. We took the Senate. Bill Proxmire had gotten reelected in a special election in 1957. Democrats were resurgent. And we had others like that in the 60s and 70s. So I don't know if it's going to be one of those. But the indications are that it's going to be a very, very solid, decent year for Democrats. We can take back the Senate. And that means a lot when I'm talking about taking back the Senate seat here in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, and taking back Senate seats around the country in Missouri, North Carolina, and elsewhere, where we have to take some seats. So anyway, good news from Virginia. Very good news. Terry McAuliffe leads by 4 points over Glenn Youngkin. You may not care much about that, but what it is it's a canary in the coal mine. Coal miners used to lower a bird cage with a canary in it. And then they pull them back up. And if the canary was dead, it meant that there was gas down there and none of the coal miners should go down. But if the canary was chirping, then they felt real good about going down to the coal mine. Virginia is a coal mine right now. And the canary came back up chirping. So that's very, very good news. Terry McAuliffe, I think, is going to win down there. And I think I'm guardedly optimistic about Democrats around the country. Now, Trump understands this, so do the rest of the Trump cult. And so what they're trying to do around the country, what they're absolutely trying to do, is restrict and repress the vote, for instance, in Arizona, Texas, Georgia, even Iowa. We have people, I told you that Robin Voss, at your expense, taxpayer expense, sent 4 legislators, Wisconsin Republicans, down to Arizona to look for bamboo. In the ballots, and then bring that back up here and try to pass a resolution that Evers will veto, saying that they should look at the ballots up here again. In Georgia, they did do it. They gave the ballots in a Democratic county to a private outfit that had no experience and was advertising on Craigslist for, quote, hey, do you have experience in counting ballots on a recount? Give me a call. I got a job for you. Original ballots got turned over in Georgia. It is against the law to turn over original ballots in a federal election, which a presidential election is, to the voting machines to a private outfit like that. It's against the law. And judges in these states, these Republican states, are ignoring that law. That is what is happening. And for whatever reason, the local people are not going up fast enough in the appeal process. and not getting into federal court. State court, the people have to run for re-election, and they're scared. They're scared for their jobs. That's what's going on down there. So what Trump did in Pennsylvania, he lashes out at two Pennsylvania Republican lawmakers who are resisting an audit of the 2020 election in Pennsylvania. Biden beat Trump in Pennsylvania by 81,000 votes. What do you mean? What do you mean another audit? It's already been audited ad nauseum. Over and over, it's been audited. It's been audited. And he referred to them as stupid, corrupt, naive, and they would be beaten in primaries by Trump supporters. That's what Trump said, threatening these people. Threatening these people. I think that is a criminal offense. If he threatened them directly, say, with financial harm, physical harm, it's a felony, saying that they're going to be primary because he disagrees with them, probably not a felony, of course not. But a former president saying that, calling them stupid, corrupt, naive, and they'll be primaried, then they get death threats. And these are just two Pennsylvania Republicans, good people who say, hey, look, I voted for Trump. I'm a Republican, but I am not going to turn over ballots and original voting machines in Pennsylvania that Biden won by 81,000 votes and has been confirmed in a number of audits. I am not going to do that. And for that, they're going to get primaries. Trump's people will pour money in. Trump will insult them. Trump will threaten them. That's going on in Pennsylvania. And Voss is trying to set that up in Wisconsin by sending four people at taxpayers' expense. Go down there and do what? Do what? You can see him holding up the ballots to the light. Why do they even have their hands on those ballots? It's against the law to have their hands on those ballots. It's against the law to give them the voting machines. The judge down there said they had to do it. We didn't appeal. Going to a break. The lines are alive. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right after the break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
A tumbling down, tumbling down.